Turn, if you would, please, to the book of Hebrews, chapter 4. Hebrews, chapter 4. Our text today will be verse 12. Hebrews 4:12. For the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. When Christians witness to unbelievers, what is it that will really change their hearts and lives? Our testimonies are great, but are they enough to save a soul? Our arguments and feats of logic are good, but is that what convinces a man to be saved? What one thing must we use if a person is to come to Jesus Christ in repentance and faith? When Christians work with other believers, teaching, helping, comforting them, what truly will make the difference in their lives? Now, I know that we can comfort them by the comfort wherewith we are comforted by God, but is a good testimony all that is necessary? Will it be our advice that changes them? Will it be our powers of persuasion that will bring about results? What one thing must we use if we're going to be effective mentors in the things of God? I submit unto you that despite the many resources available to man in his evangelism and discipleship training, there is one main, indispensable element: the Word of God. While God may use men to reach men, the key ingredient is His Word. And so we look into Hebrews chapter 4 and in verse 12 today, and the title of my message is The Effectiveness of God's Word. Let's pray. Father, thank you for the day, and thank you for the opportunity to be in your house. And Lord, we pray for those who could not be with us due to sickness and providential hindrance. Lord, bless them and heal the sick and be with the bereaved, the Davison family, that you would help them, comfort them, and those that are traveling, keep them safe. But Lord, as we come together in your name today, we desire to worship you in spirit and in truth, to honor you. And Lord, we ask that you'd bless this portion of our service as we look into your word, that you would guide me, direct me, speak through me the things that you would have for me to say for your people at this time, that you would meet every need of every heart. We pray especially for the lost, that they might see their need of Jesus Christ, that they might be saved even today. And we pray for those of us who are saved, that we would be as you would have us to be. Lord, teach us and guide us, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Hebrews 4, verse 12, we want to think about the effectiveness of God's Word. And so simply what I want to do is to look into the text itself. That's what we're going to concern ourselves with. We'll take it apart a little bit at a time, and then we'll look at the message of the verse and then some confirmation to the message as we go along through the service today. Notice the verse, and let's read it over once again, and we'll come back and look at it a little bit at a time. For the Word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. Notice, first of all, those first words. It's the Word of God. That's what we're talking about. That's what I'm concerned with today. And by the way, I'm talking about the book that you have in your lap. It's translated into English, but you can read it, you can understand it, you can comprehend it. What is what God has given unto us and what God has preserved for us. We have the Word of God. And the Word of God is quick, it says. Now that word quick means to live. It is possessed with vitality. It is to exercise the functions of life. It's really, they're putting human characteristics to an inanimate object. But the Word of God is quick. It's alive. It's vibrant. And it says powerful. Now the word powerful in the original language, we get our word energy from it. But the word means to be active. It is energetic. It is effectual. And so my title is accurate to say the effectiveness of the Word of God, because God's Word is quick and powerful. And by that I believe that we're being told that it's not dry and dusty. It's not dead and ineffective. It's not meaningless. I'll tell you, there is value to the Word of God. There's life. You want to make a difference in your life? Get into the Word. It's going to change you forever. Now, this Word of God is said to be quick and powerful. It's alive and has energy. It's effective and sharper than any two-edged sword. Now, the idea there is a two-edged sword. You know what those things are. You've seen them on televisions. You might have seen some in persons if you've done some travel. You can even go purchase them in certain locations. A two-edged sword. And not just one, but two. A very deadly weapon. And he says that the Word of God is sharper. Now that word sharper comes from a word in the original language which means to cut. And therefore it's this adjective is the idea it's sharp, but it, boy, it's just more than sharp, it's sharper. It is sharper than any two-edged sword. This thing is... Brother Paul has knives. He has a ton of pocket knives. And you know what? Brother Paul keeps his knives sharper than any person I've ever seen. Brother Paul pull out his knife and he can get a piece of paper and just zip, cut through there. If you look at my pocket knife, it wouldn't even cut butter. I don't keep my knives sharp, but he keeps his sharp. And you know what? The Word of God is sharper than any two-edged sword. And, of course, you know what a sword is. So that's what the Word of God is. When you talk about an instrument like that, it's not dull. It's not blunted. It's nothing keeps it from penetrating. Rather, it's kind of like a scalpel when you think about it, because... if you ever have surgery, you want those instruments to be sharp, don't you? And you want that scalpel to be just razor edge so that they can cut in and do what they need to do if they're doing surgery. Well, the Word of God is alive. It's energetic, and it's sharper than any two-edged sword. And really, that's perfect imagery for those in that era because they all knew what the sword was. I mean, the Romans ran around constantly with swords attached to their sides. And they've seen, no doubt, those people had seen people impaled by those swords. You'll see that imagery fulfilled in this text as he speaks of a little bit further about the Word of God. But aren't you glad that you have something that God said is vital and it's effectual? I mean, it is sharp. It's not dull whatsoever. And you'll notice the continued description. The Word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. Notice what it says then, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit. Piercing and dividing asunder. Now again, the imagery of the sword follows through. You watch an old TV show, you know, up in the Middle Ages or back in the Crusades or something like that, and they have a sword fight, and then, yeah, and they jab somebody right through, and they're pierced all the way through, right? They know what that means. And this Word of God is sharper than any two-edged sword, and just like a real sword can pierce you through, can cut off your arm, can cut you to pieces, cut off your head. Peter in the garden swung a sword and cut off Malchus's ear. Right? It can dismember. Well, the Word of God is piercing. That word pierce means, of course, to pass through. It is to penetrate. And then the dividing asunder means exactly that. It is a dividing. It is a distribution. And so the Word of God is sharper than any two-edged sword. It can pierce right in. I mean, get into the inner parts and separate. It's not like when you get hit with a stick, you know, it doesn't go anywhere. You just get hit with a stick and it bounces off. A sword you hit cuts right in, doesn't it? You pierce, it goes right through. And so the Word of God will pierce in and divide asunder. When I think about that, how about the sword could pierce and the sword can cut off and the Word of God is likened unto that. You know, even that knife that can dissect and separate the parts for examination. How many did that when you were in high school? You got into science class, biology class, and you had to dissect something. They gave you a little scalpel, and you got your frog, or you got the worm, or whatever it is. Some did pigs and fetuses and things, pig fetuses and things like that, and cut those things open. And you could, I remember cutting up a frog, and a little bit at a time, cutting the pieces out and having to make drawings of it. You remember that, don't you? Dividing asunder. And the Word of God pierces and divides asunder, can make the distinction between. And so the Word of God penetrates and separates. Talk about the effectiveness of God's Word. What a great description we have in our text. Well, notice what it does. It divides asunder of soul and spirit. Now, it's not our desire to get in an argument whether we're a dichotomist or a trichotomist, and what that means is, What is man consisting of? Does he consist of man, body, soul, and spirit, or just body and soul? And is the word spirit here combining the same? What the scripture gives us is two terms in the original language. The first word, soul, means breath. It is life. It is the soul. It's translated in the concept and the application is the inner self. But then you have the word spirit. And the word spirit also comes, but it's a different Greek word, but it also means breath. It's wind. And we consider it the spirit. Personally, I'm a trichotomist. I believe that we have body, soul, and spirit. If you're a dichotomist, that's okay. If you believe it's just body and soul, that's your privilege to do so. But I'll tell you one thing. The Word of God can split apart, separate and divide, and make absolute distinction between soul and spirit. So if you make them the same, you're privileged to do so. But what we find by the description of the text is that God's Word just penetrates the entire being of a person. Gets right down to the heart of the matter, even into the nature of man. It slices into the life and the very being. It cuts into the heart and the soul of man. You know, it not only deals with man and his heart and what he thinks and who he is, but the Word of God deals with our relationship with man to man. All that we are, as we represent ourselves and deal one with another, the Word of God can dissect every bit of that. Our relationship with God, our relationship with Him, and our responses, the Word of God cuts in every part, infiltrates the entire being, and knows everything about us. And so we have the Word of God that is quick, it's powerful, it's sharp, it pierces, it divides asunder, it dissects the soul and spirit. And then what He does, you see the next words, and of the joints and the marrow. Now those words mean exactly what they mean. I mean the joint, you have joints throughout your body, and the marrow that's inside your bones. And what I see that the writer is giving to us by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit is he entertains for us a physical description of spiritual action. And what he's doing is he's reaching into the ethereal, unseen parts of man and revealing the individual qualities. If you didn't get the idea that it divides asunder between soul and spirit, and then he says of the joints and marrow. Just like you would dissect a physical creature, the Word of God dissects us in every aspect of our being. And so you don't necessarily have to apply the physical, our joints and the marrow and our bones. It's the idea, the analogy, God's Word penetrates. Now what does it do? Notice what, as we continue through our text, it divides asunder soul and spirit of the joints and marrow and is a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. Discerner. That word discerner comes from the word which means to judge. This word actually in the Greek is kritikos. You hear the word critic in there? You hear the word critic and the Greek word kritikos? And so this word actually means in the original language, able or quick to discern or to judge. That's what critics do. And he says the Word of God penetrates and as a discerner is able to make an absolute perfect judgment and determination of all things, whether it be good or bad. The Word of God penetrates right into our very being and is a discerner of what? Of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. The thoughts. The word means our cogitations, our reflections. The English word thought carries it very well. You are thinking right now, at least I judge that you are. You're entertaining thoughts. Do you know the Word of God penetrates to every one of your thoughts? There's nothing hidden from God. No thought. No reasoning. No reflection. God's Word will penetrate down to every aspect of your being, even to your very thoughts and intents. Now, the word intents is a different Greek term, but it means notion or an idea. And since it's used in context with the word thought, you wouldn't translate discerner of the thoughts and the thoughts of the heart. What that means is it's the purpose, the idea behind the thoughts. Therefore, it would be the intention or the motivation. And so the Word of God penetrates, is alive, it's vibrant, and it's sharp. It penetrates into the person of man, even to the thoughts of man, and the motivations, the intents. The thoughts and the intents of the heart. Not just deeds, but the considerations, the thoughts of man, even unto the motivations. And I want to remind you that nothing is hidden. There's no mysteries. There's no enigmas. All is exposed with perfect light and faultless judgment. How do we know this to be true? Well, the text tells us, but look at the very next verse, verse 13. Neither is there any creature that is not manifest in his sight, but all things are naked and open unto the eyes of him with whom we have to do. Do you see that, my friend? You can't hide from God. You cannot conceal the thoughts of your heart, the motivations. You might be able to trick me. You might be able to trick your spouse. You might be able to deceive your coworkers, but you cannot deceive God, because God is aware. All things are naked and open before him, and his word will penetrate to every aspect of your soul. And so I just want you to consider today the effectiveness of God's word, and realize that whether you're a believer or an unbeliever, God's word is what will make a difference in your life and every aspect of your living. God can take that word, discern exactly who you are, has application toward it, and you can make correction, you can respond. The word of God. Boy, it is effectual, isn't it? And so we have the text itself. The second point of my message was the message of the verse. What are we getting from this? What is the purpose behind the text? I submit unto you just a few things. First of all, the word of God is not the same as any other writing. You might read Shakespeare and it might move you. You might read Grisham, it might really stir your heart. You know, and I know there's a wide gamut between Shakespeare and Grisham, but you know what? The Word of God is different than any other book ever. This is God's Word. And other works might move, other works might even be world-changing, but I'll tell you, they're not divine. This is God's Word to us. As a preacher said, this is God's love letter to us. And so this is the living, breathing Word of God. God gave it to us. No other book is like it. Then I submit unto you, since that is the case, that this is the Word of God, and we see the description in verse 12, the message is that there is always an effectiveness about it. If the Word of God is exactly as described for us, it's living, it's breathing, it's moving, it's working, and it expresses to every part of our being, then God will always use it. Listen to Isaiah chapter 55, verse 11. God said through the prophet, "So shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereunto I sent it." You know, the word of God is always effectual. You say, but wait a minute, I've witnessed and shared the Scripture and read to people that were lost, and they're yet to be saved. That doesn't mean the Word of God's not effectual. They may not have responded, but God's Word never fails. It will always accomplish the purpose whereunto God has sent us. That's what God has said. And so when you think about the effect of God's Word upon people, we have examples of this in the Scripture. Over in the book of Acts chapter 7, where Stephen gives his great defense, and at the end of his testimony, and he tells about the history of Israel, he's preaching unto them. It says in Acts chapter 7, verse 54, they were cut to the heart. Listen to the Scripture. When they heard these things, they were cut to the heart, and they gnashed on him with their teeth. And if you know the story, they went out and they stoned Stephen and they killed him. The Word of God sometimes doesn't produce a positive response. It produces a negative response. And people are cut to the heart, and they become offended, and they're even more rebellious than they were before. And these people went out and killed Stephen. Sometimes the Word of God will have that effect, but it's effectual. And but then there's the other side of that. Back in Acts chapter 2, when Peter was preaching on the great day of Pentecost, he gave them history, and he talked to them and declared the truth. In Acts chapter 2, verse 37, it said they were pricked in their hearts. And so this is what the Scripture says. Now when they heard this, they were pricked in their heart and said unto Peter and to the rest of the apostles, "Men and brethren, what shall we do?" And they told them to believe on the Lord, and they were saved. And so when you witness, when you share, you know what? Sometimes they don't hear it. But the fault's not with the Word of God. Some people are cut to the heart. Others are pricked in the heart. And you know the truth of the matter is, and I'm going to share these verses with you, the Word of God will judge men. over in the book of John, chapter 5 and verse 45, it says, "Do not think that I will accuse you to the Father. There is one that accuses you, even Moses, in whom you trust. For have you believed Moses, you would have believed me, for he wrote of me." That's what Jesus said. "If you believe not his writings, how shall you believe my words?" Jesus went on to say, "He that rejecteth me and receiveth not my words hath one that judgeth him." What's the judge? "And the word that I have spoken, the same shall judge him in the last day." The word of God is always effectual. That purpose 1 and 2, he sends it. Personally, I believe when I read in Revelation chapter 20 where there's a great white throne and the books are open, one of the books that are open is the word of God. Judged by it. Jesus said that we're judged by the word. Now, we find in the message here that the message of this text is the word of God is effectual in all of its aspects. And I submit unto you it's relevant and it's up to date. Now, I understand some of the King James language might be a little difficult to trudge through sometimes, and I know some of the words have changed in the last couple hundred years, but you know what? I've been reading the King James Bible since the Lord has saved me, and you know what? Even if I have a word I still stumble over, I'll go look it up. It's not that big of a deal. I don't need to change it. It's relevant. It's up to date. You know, people say that the Bible is out of date. It doesn't apply to our society. It doesn't apply to our situation today. I believe that it does. I believe everything that you need to do to learn about life and living, how to conduct yourself, how to behave toward other people, how to respond to God, what you need for salvation, everything you need is right here in this book. Now, I didn't say it's a car manual and you go out and figure out how to fix your car. I'm talking about life and living. You have the Word of God. It is effectual. And God still has it. God is still using it. And we read in our text that this Word of God addresses the person of man inside and out, throughout, and very precise. Nothing is exempt in our life. Nothing exempt. Thoughts, the intents. God discerns every bit of it, and He'll use His Word to teach, to train, to bring correction, or whatever God is going to do with that, whether those things in our life are good or whether it be evil. We know the Word of God is effectual. Do you get that message out of the text here? Do you see that? The Word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. It does pierce even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit. And it does discern the thoughts and the intents of our hearts. That's the message you need to gather. If you don't get anything out of that, you need to realize this Word of God is effectual in everything in my life, and I need it. If you're a Christian here today, you know what you need above everything? You need the Word of God. Nothing wrong with books. Nothing wrong with hearing preaching and teaching and self-help books and how-to books. Nothing wrong with that. But every one of them better have the Word of God in there telling you. And if you get a self-help book that doesn't use the Word of God or contradicts the Word of God, toss the book. Stick with the Word of God. God will use His Word. And if you're lost, you know what I do when I talk to lost people and they have a difficulty? I'll tell them, you need to read the book. Read the Bible. Let God speak to your heart. And the more you learn about God, the more God will reveal Himself to you. What's the solution for a lost person? It's going to be found in the Word of God. What's the solution for a Christian? It's going to be found in the Word of God. Now, how do I know this is true? How do I know that the message of this verse is that God's Word is alive and it's powerful and can do so many things and it's really what we need for life and living? Let me give you a confirmation. That was the third point of my message. A confirmation to the message that's given in this verse. And what I've chosen to do, I've written these verses down. It's on the outline. They're listed for you. The outline's on the back of the bulletin prayer list. Here's a confirmation. How do I know that the Word of God is effectual? Listen to what God has to say. I want you to know, first of all, that the Word of God is essential to true life and living. Jesus said when He was tempted, and He was tempted of the devil to change stones into bread so that He could eat, He answered and said, "It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God." Whether you're saved or not, that's true. Life is just not consistent of what you need to live. It's just not food and clothing. But if a man's going to truly live, a man's life consists not of just bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. So even if you're here and you don't believe in Jesus Christ, you're not a Christian, I want you to know there's great value, great benefit to the Word of God. You need to read it and you need to study it. And I believe if you'll do that with open heart and open mind and seeking after God, God will reveal Jesus Christ to you. You look into the text and it tells us that the Word of God is effectual. And it is essential to true life and living, Matthew 4:4. Secondly, it's very productive. There's a text in Jeremiah chapter 23, 29 that says this, "Is not my word like as a fire, saith the Lord, and like a hammer that breaketh the rock in pieces?" It's effectual, it produces. And of course, we know that by the word of God, faith comes. Romans chapter 10, verse 17. "So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God." Yeah, you're witnessing to lost people. Give your testimony. Give your arguments. But you know what? They need to hear God's word. They need to know that they're sinners before a holy God, and that the wages of sin is death. And they need to know that God commended his love toward us, and that while we're yet sinners, Christ died for us. And whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Give them the word of God. Let them know. Because faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of God. The best tool we have in witnessing is the Scripture. Give the gospel. But you know the gospel message, or the Christian message that we have, the what we find in the text, the confirmation. You know that it was the Word of God that was used to save us? You know what we read over in 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 23? It says, "Being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the Word of God, which liveth and abideth forever." You know what God used to save you? It was His Word. Yeah, James said something very similar in James chapter 1 and verse 21. "Wherefore lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness." There you're going to need a dictionary to look up superfluity, right? "And receive with meekness the engrafted word, which is able to save your soul." When God saved me as a teenager, I'd gone to church. We weren't really exposed to that much. I didn't know much about the Bible, but I heard the preaching of God's word. And do you know what changed my life? It was God's word. You say, "Well, God used the preaching." Yes, He used the preaching, but the guy preached the Word. And I learned about God, and I learned about the truth, and I learned about Jesus Christ being a sacrifice for sinners, how we can have eternal life. God worked in my heart by His Word, and He saved me. It's the engrafted Word which is able to save your soul. But beyond that, now that you're saved, isn't the Word of God helpful for you? You know what Paul wrote to Timothy in 2 Timothy chapter 3? We find it's profitable. Listen, 2 Timothy 3. "All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable." Profitable. "For doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works." Christian, you want to live the kind of life God would have you to live? You better get into the book. It's the Word of God that will make a difference in your life. It's profitable. I'm telling you, that's what the Scripture tells us. It confirms the message of Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12. It will pierce right into the very being of your soul. Let God speak to you. It's profitable. But you know, we're also told in the Scripture that it's an offensive weapon in the spiritual warfare. When Paul discusses the spiritual armor over in Ephesians chapter 6, in verse 17, he says, "Take the helmet of salvation," and he says, "and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God." What will God use? His Word. How shall we fight this spiritual battle? By use of His Word. Now, I'm not talking about just the physical book. I'm talking about the Word of God. I was witnessing one time, me and a guy, we were going witnessing, I was working in a church, And we were out, and the guy, I mean, I believe the Bible through and through. I really do. You know I'm committed to the Word of God. But he had just a special feeling toward the book itself. I mean, the cover and the pages and all that. And we were out going door to door, and we went to this one place that had an open gate, and we started to go through that gate. And this big dog started coming at us. And that's one of my biggest fears is dogs. And anyway, this big dog came at us. And I bent down to pick up a rock. And that dog stopped, you know, and so he stopped and stared at us, and we got up, and I stood up, and we just kind of edged away down the street, went back there. If you had asked him to this day, I'm sure, because his testimony before the church was, we were out witnessing, and when that dog came, I stuck out my Bible. and that dog stopped. Well, I highly doubt the dog could recognize, oh, that's the Word of God, I better stop. I don't know whether he did or not. It might have been the book. It could have been that we didn't move. It could have been that I was bending down to pick up a rock. I don't know, but for some reason that dog stopped. But he was absolutely convinced it was because he had a book that he stuck out before him. Well, maybe so. But I'll tell you, when I look at the Word of God, this is a weapon. And if you have problems in the workplace, if you have problems in the community, if you have problems in the home, you have spiritual battles all over the place, even in churches sometimes, you know what the weapon is? It's the Word of God. Talk about being quick and powerful. It's worthwhile, isn't it? And oh, how much we neglect it. Isn't it amazing? How great and effectual this book is, and yet we won't pay much attention to it. How sad. You know, by the Word of God, we can grow spiritually. Do you want to grow as a Christian? 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 2 says, as newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the Word, that you may grow thereby. If you have a baby, you're going to feed it, right? And if the baby doesn't eat, it's not going to grow. It's going to deteriorate. We just had a thing in Memphis where these people starve their baby to death. Well, that's what happens if you don't eat. You know, as a Christian, you need the Word of God, the milk of the Word, that you may grow thereby. You want to grow as a Christian? Get in the book. You know, Jesus said in John chapter 17, verse 17, that we're sanctified by the Word. It says, sanctify them through thy truth. Thy Word is truth. You know, the Word of God cleanses us. The psalmist said in Psalm 119, 11, thy Word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee. You know, the Word of God guides us. Psalm 119, 105, the psalmist again says, thy Word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. If the Hebrews 4:12 wasn't sufficient, if my summary of the message of Hebrews 4:12 wasn't sufficient, then hopefully you've gained something from these other verse references to say, there is something with the Word of God, and I need to be involved with it, whether I'm lost or whether I'm saved. The Word of God is effectual. Let me say to you in conclusion then, the Word of God reaches the depths of a man's soul, it exposes his heart, and reveals his spiritual condition. That's what will happen. Show somebody that's lost where the Bible says all sin and come short of the glory of God, and let them recognize they're a sinner. And if they won't recognize it, they don't believe God's Word, you can't get anywhere until they see they're a sinner in need of a Savior. But what will make a difference is the fact that God says they're sinners. God's Word will make it. So, God exposes us, reveals our spiritual condition. And it's the Word of God is what God uses to teach a man. God will use it to convict a man, whether it's a positive thing or a negative thing. God will convict a man of it. To motivate a man, you can find it in His Word. God will use His Word to correct a man. God will use His Word to save a man. So if you're here and you're today and you're lost, I'm going to point you to Jesus Christ. How am I going to describe Jesus to you? I'm going to open up the book. I want to show you what God says about Jesus Christ and what He says about salvation. You don't have to take my word for it. You can read what God has said. God will save a man. But not only does He save him, but after He gives us eternal life, we have a Christian life to walk. How are we going to do that? It's going to be through the very same book. So we're commanded in the Word of God to study it. We ought to apply it. And so those being the things that we ought to do with the Word of God, we should read it, study it, and apply it. Read it, be aware of its contents. Study it, understand its contents. Not only know what's there, but understand what is there, and then apply it. And all that is incorporate the contents. I submit unto you that God's Word is effective. It's always effective. And so whether you're lost or whether you're saved, you can open up the book, because it's quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, and let God's Word speak to you, to speak to your condition, to speak to your circumstances, and you know what? That's what God will use to make a difference in your life. If you're lost, we point you to Jesus. If you're saved, I encourage you to follow the Lord. Incorporate the Word in your daily walk so that you might be the kind of Christian you ought to be. If you're lost, you want to learn about Jesus, open up the book. The effectiveness of God's Word, always effective. May the Lord bless you. I'd like for us to stand. Brother Paul, would you please come? The invitation simply is this, right where you are. As God works in His heart, by His Spirit, using His Word. If you're under conviction, You need Jesus Christ? Repent. Believe on Him. Call upon Him that He might save you. He'll do that right where you stand. But then if you do that and you're saved as a result, then you come and let us know, because with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Christian, if God's spoken to your heart through the Word of God today, and you say, you know what, I've really been neglectful and I've really not paid much attention, I'm trying to run my life my way, and now I realize through God's Word that God's Word is most effectual, this would be a great time to bow your head and make a commitment to Him to read it, to study it, and to apply it, and see what God does in your life. Father, bless your Word to our hearts as only you can. Move by your Spirit. We ask you to save the lost and strengthen the saved, and we commit it to you. We love you, we honor you, and we praise you. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. What number, Brother Paul?